Glad you're able to join us this morning. Of course, a lot to talk about today. Senate, I know, is working on a new farm bill. This is, of course, a huge bill that incorporates a lot of federal programs. And there have been numerous votes on amendments to the farm bill in the past couple of days.
There have been. We've done dozens of votes in the last couple of days, and we're going to do another dozen or so today and try to wrap up the farm bill today. I really am glad that we're on the farm bill. It's vitally important to the U.S. economy. It's important to rural America, rural Arkansas. But at the moment, I cannot support this farm bill because of the way rice is treated.
Well, I know the votes that have been have not always been along party lines, but often along regional lines. And this is when you talk about rice, this is one of those cases.
It absolutely is, and it's very common in a farm bill. And you know, we do these every 5 years or so. Mm-hmm. Very, very common in a farm bill for the Midwest guys to see agriculture one way, and the Southern folks to see it another way. And that's what's happened here. Unfortunately, on this one, whenever there, by the way, there are spending cuts in the farm programs, and that's important that we not lose sight of that. There are big spending cuts in these programs, so the pie is getting smaller. So people are fighting to, you know, keep as much as they possibly can. Every time they were looking to take a little, they needed a little money from somewhere. They took it out of rice, and it's really just not fair how it happened. It's not equal. It's not fair. It's not right. And you know, I've been very clear with everybody that I just can't support this. I'm not sure you're going to see very many Southern votes for this, but they think they have enough votes to pass it, and they think they can pass it without rice. But we're going to be working very, very hard on the House side to try to fix the rice provisions.
One thing I was a little curious about, I saw on the Senate website and the schedule of votes, there was a measure by Senator Bozeman, actually, to provide emergency food assistance. It got your support, but was rejected by the majority.
Yeah, I thought that John Bozeman was right on that. There was just two or three, maybe, Democrats that supported him on that, but he was looking at various efficiencies in various programs and to try to make sure that we get more resources available to things like food pantries and, you know, the Rice Depot, you know, things like that. So I thought he was right on that, and that actually underscores something that's important. Everybody tends to focus on, you know, things like cotton, rice, soybeans, et cetera, the row crop part of this bill. The truth is that's only a tiny fraction. It's probably maybe 15% of the whole bill. The rest of it is things like conservation programs, the old food stamps programs, now called SNAP, and school lunches. That's in here. But you also have a lot of rural development in here. So a lot of this USDA rural development money that comes through this legislation. So really only a tiny part of this is the row crop piece.
Well, there are likely going to be quite a few differences to work out between the House and Senate versions of a farm bill.
Yeah, there are. And right now, the one question is, will there be a House version? Because they've kind of tied themselves up in knots over on the House side with some of their ideological fights that they're having, and it's really pretty much on the Republican side over there. There's been rumors that they are going to do a farm bill as soon as we finish ours, but then we heard yesterday that maybe they're not going to do it, at least not yet. They hadn't gotten their act together. So, you know, we're certainly hoping and pushing that they do a farm bill. One thing we need to remember is agriculture is one of the core strengths in the U.S. economy. And you look at our trade deficit, it would be horrendous if it weren't for agriculture. We export a lot of ag products, and we need to keep that strong global position, and we need a good farm bill to do it.
Well, one program that's in the current farm bill that involves Northeast Arkansas is this biomass crop assistance program, which sets aside acreage for growing miscanthus. It's a type of grass that's a renewable energy source, and it sounds like this program is going to be expanded.
It is, and this is a success story because part of what we're trying to look for is I'm trying to crack the code on cellulosic ethanol, and that's what we're trying to do in Arkansas. And so this is a program that has a lot of promise. It actually doesn't cost that much money, and you get a lot of local farmers involved and local land involved. So we actually are pretty optimistic that this is going to pay big dividends. This U.S. investment is going to pay big dividends, and we're proud that we can have this big pilot project in Arkansas.
Well, another recent controversial vote in the Senate, you voted against a measure that would have eliminated EPA clean air regulations in coal-fired power plants. But you've proposed giving these power plants some extra years, I believe 3 extra years, to comply with the regulations.
Yeah, this is kind of a long story. In fact, it's a 20-year long story. 20 years ago, the Congress, I won't take 20 years, I promise, but I know you radio guys are kind of sensitive to your time here.
Right.
But 20 years ago, the Congress said, look, EPA, go out here and clean up these coal-fired plants. Get rid of 90% of the mercury. I mean, this is a congressional mandate. This thing, it takes a long time to do one of these. They have to get it right from a science standpoint, technology standpoint, all that stuff. They do it. Finally, the Bush administration gets around to doing the regulation. They do it wrong. It gets challenged. It gets overturned in court. Then Obama ends up with it. Obama does a regulation. And now we finally have the regulation. It's finally came out in April after 20 years. First thing that happens is we have people in the Senate say, no, 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 we don't like that regulation. Undo it. Well, this is a congressional mandate from 20 years ago. The biggest problem with the Obama administration's approach on this is not so much that they're following Congress's will of saying get rid of 90% of the mercury. The biggest problem is they're only saying you get 3 years to comply. I've talked to utilities around the country and in Arkansas as well, and many, of course, are already complying, so many don't have to do anything. But for those who are not in compliance, almost everybody says, look, we need more time. We can do this. We have the technology. This is, and by the way, this is clean coal. You see these ads about clean coal technology? Well, this is it. That's what we're talking about. We're like the Saudi Arabia of coal. We have 400 years of coal. We need to use that coal. That should be part of our energy mix in this country. It absolutely should be, but we have the technology to clean it up, so let's do that. And that's what this is about. So Lamar Alexander of Tennessee and I, we have this proposal to go ahead and uphold the rule, but to give them 6 years to comply. And I think that that's the balance that everybody's looking for.
Well, now, hasn't the industry had 20 years, though, to get ready for this?
Well, they have, and you know, in fairness, that's true. They have. And most of the utilities who have done much in the world of building new coal-fired power plants and generation plants, who spend a lot of money on their plants, they're already in compliance. They're meeting the standard, and all that's good. I've forgotten how many, maybe a third or half or something like that are out of compliance. And that's the thing. We want them to comply, but give them 6 years to do it. But you're right. The coal industry's been on notice for a long time that this is coming, so they can't say that they're shocked by this.
With this, your vote, though, you and other Democrats are accused of waging a war on coal.
Yeah, I just completely disagree with that. I think what that is, that's the old false choice you see in politics. There are people out there that say, well, you have to either be pro-coal or pro-human health. I completely disagree. I think you can be both. And we have the technology now to do both. And like I said, we have so much coal in this country, we'd be foolish not to clean it up and use it. But we ought to clean it up. We have that technology now. When they passed the EPA, or when the EPA mandate, you know, 20 years ago that Congress passed came down, I'm not sure the technology was really there, but now it is today. So we ought to do this. I think it's the right thing to do. This is a real human health issue. I have a long list of statistics, but about 11,000 premature deaths will be prevented, 4,700 heart attacks, 130,000 asthma attacks, not to mention brain damage in children. Maybe about 315,000 children a year have some sort of mercury brain damage. So, you know, let's do our part here for human health, and let's, you know, we got the technology, let's use it.
This is an area where you and Senator Bozeman disagree, though. Bozeman and other Republicans say that these regulations will lead to skyrocketing energy costs.
Yeah, I disagree with that, too. And I've looked at this. We've spent a lot of time looking at this about how much the energy costs will go up. Our best guess is that if you get your electricity from a coal-fired plant, your electric bill is going to go up about 3%. That's not skyrocketing to me, 3%. Also, in Arkansas, we get a big chunk of our electricity from nuclear, and we get it from hydro, and we get it from even some wind and some other things. So that's not going to go up. Natural gas is another great source. That's not going to go up. The really what's going on here is right now, at this moment in time, it won't be this way forever, but at this moment in time, natural gas is much, much cheaper than coal. And that's really what they're not saying, but that's what this is about. That they want every advantage they can possibly get for coal, but we have an abundance of natural gas, and a lot of that comes from Arkansas. So, you know, that's kind of the fuel switching concern they have. It's really not so much this regulation.
Mm-hmm. Just got a couple minutes left, and I wanted to get to this. Of course, the Supreme Court is expected to announce its decision on what both sides are calling Obamacare now, maybe as soon as this morning, at least sometime in the next few days. This is going to have a huge impact no matter what the court decides.
Everybody is holding their breath on that. I mean, no one knows what the court's going to decide. There's lots of speculation all around the board, but nobody knows, and I'm sure that NPR will cover it. They always do. They always do a great job, and this is a big deal. I mean, ever since we passed the health care law, there's been a ton of uncertainty because this has been tied up in courts. I mean, companies and governments, no one knows what to do until we hear from the U.S. Supreme Court. So however they decide it, whether they decide it today or next week, I hope that they give us clarity and give us the final decision. I certainly hope they don't remand it down to a lower court to get them to rehear the case or anything.
Well, this is there are a number of ways the court could go on this issue. It's not just a thumbs up or thumbs down on the health care law.
No, that's right. There's lots of different kind of scenarios out there. They might strike down one part of it but leave the rest, or they might strike down most of it and only leave the, you know, small part of it, or they might leave it all intact and say it's all constitutional, or, you know, we just don't know. Mm-hmm. And we had several groups from Arkansas, and they were up here, and we were all talking about it. And, you know, I just said, look, I can't really speculate on that because I truly have no idea, and it's hard to even know what the next step is until you know what the Supreme Court does. So, you know, hopefully either this week or next week they'll let us know, and like everybody else, I'll find out at the same time everybody else does.
A lot of people are expecting maybe a 5-4 split on a decision. What some people find disconcerting about this court is how easy it is sometimes to predict how each justice is going to fall on any given issue.
I agree with that. I'm disappointed in that sense in this court. In fact, when now Justice Roberts came into my office and he was up for the Chief Justice slot, I challenged him a little bit. I said, look, if you look at the Rehnquist court, you know, which was Chief Justice Rehnquist, I said one of the qualities there was they were really known for 5-4 decisions, and that's not good for the country. That if the court's that divided, and like you said, if it's predictable because of which president appointed them to the bench, that is just not good for the country. So I encouraged him. I said, look, try to get more 6-3 decisions, 7-2 decisions, you know, please, that's good for the country. But I think on this one, I think you're right. Most everybody's predicting a 5-4 here. I think that's unfortunate. I wish they could get to certainly a unanimous decision, but I would much prefer them to not have a 5-4.
Senator Mark Pryor joining us from his office in Washington this morning. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU Jonesboro.